And that is God loved the world so that he gave. If you listened to the promo, you thought we were going to be talking about I trust, O Christ, in you alone. The problem is, even though it's a second option for the fourth Sunday in Lent, it doesn't appear in our new hymnal, as our good friend, Pastor Mark Smith, just found out.
Yes, Tom, how you doing?
I'm doing good. So we're doing God loved the world so that he gave.
Well, that's a good one, too.
Well, they're all good ones.
They're all good.
I'm preaching today, so we're going to leave a little early, and you'll hear the entire hymn then as we leave. I got an email from our good friend, Henry Gehrke.
Oh, yes.
Remember we were complaining about the concordance of the hymnal.
Yes. What did he say?
It's now available.
It's now available.
Yes.
For the new hymnal.
That's what he says.
Well, good.
And so I'm going to be going to CPH and see if I can purchase it. And so I'll let you know if I can. And but that's going to be nice because with the one I have right now, it's the old hymnal. So I always have to look up what the words are saying and then have to switch over. But for some reason, every now and then, they have a hymn that isn't in our new hymnal. This probably was in the old hymnal, in I Trust, O Christ, in You Alone. The reason it's such a good one, it just so happens that Martin Luther indicated that it is a great summary of the Confession of Faith. So I was looking forward to doing it. But instead, we're going to be taking a look at God Loved the World So That He Gave. And the author of this?
Yes, go ahead. Oh, you want me to give the author?
Yes.
Okay.
Just so you know, it's not.
Okay. Let's see. It's, boy, that's Heiliges Lippen. August Kroll. August Kroll is the author.
No,
August.
He isn't. He's the translator.
He's the translator. Okay, go ahead.
Stettin.
Stettin is the author, huh?
Well, actually, it was first thought that the author was individual because the hymn is in the very first official hymnal of the Missouri Synod, Gesangbuch, 1791. But guess what? You know August Soufflot, don't you?
Oh, yes.
We were good friends.
Yes.
In fact, we rented a room out at my church so he could work in it, head of the Concordia Historical Institute. He discovered that the hymn appeared in an earlier, undated edition of the Pomeranian hymnal published by Stettin and entitled, and there's a long German thing.
Yes, that's what I'm looking at
here. Yes. And so that was 1778. It was a traditional, additional section of new hymns. And you know how many hymns they had? 1,313.
Wow. In that hymnal?
Well, in the collection of hymns.
Goodness.
Yeah, I'm sure they didn't even make a book that big. But this one, God Loved the World.
I could just hear the pastor. We will now turn to volume 3.
Yes. And there's this 85-year-old woman picking up this 42-pound book. Yeah, no, I tell you. They had books in those days, you know, because Gutenberg had already done it during the Reformation. And, of course,
That reminds me.
Oh, yes.
That reminds me. We had a blind gentleman in our congregation when I first arrived at Prince of Peace years ago. He was blind from birth. But, boy, every Sunday he would bring his Braille hymnal. And you know something else about him? You could tell him, give me the title to hymn 342, and he could give it.
Yes.
Or you could tell him, okay, what number is, give him a title to him, and he could give you the number of the hymnal.
Yeah.
By golly, he knew it.
I discovered that people who are blind for a long time get additional gifts, like Dave Andrus.
Yes, yes.
A wonderful pastor, has appeared on KFUO a number of times. He's blind. I could drop a coin on the table, and he'd be able to tell whether it was a penny, a dime, a no nickel, or quarter. Yes. So he said, yeah, you put money, drop it on the table, I'll tell. So I took out a $5 bill and dropped it. I said, okay, what is it? He guessed a dollar. I said, nope. Oh, you mean coins. I didn't know you meant coins. For sure. All right. In fact, a lot of times he would preach and people didn't know he was blind. You know, and he'd be sitting up there and then he'd go up in the pulpit and they were just amazed that he never looked down on the text. Why?
Well, because all of us seeing pastors, we're looking at our notes a lot, right?
Yeah, but he was looking at them with his fingers in Braille. Oh, boy. First stanza, God loved the world.
Well, of course, this is based on
1 Corinthians 9:8.
John 3:16.
Oh, John 3:16. Yes. Oh, thank you.
God loved the world so that he gave his only son, the lost to save, that all who would in him believe should everlasting life receive.
I'm starting another adult instruction class, and both of these individuals in it at this time are non-Lutherans. And I really went to Galatians 3, which I think is the best chapter in the whole Bible to help people understand the distinction Lutherans have between law and gospel. Because Paul again and again says, oh, you think you were saved by the law? No, you're saved through faith. Said that again and again. And here it's in the first stanza, that all who would in him obey?
No, believe.
Believe. And a lot of people don't understand what that word believe means, because every verb has an object. I carried it home. And somebody's going to say, what did you carry home? What's the object? When you say, I believe, what is the object? A lot of people think that just Jesus is the object, but it's not. Because Mormons believe in Jesus, Hindus, Muslims. The object is always what you believe, which is what?
His promises.
Excellent. His promises.
His promises.
So a Christian is a person who believes the promises of the historical events. I ask the folks, you know, I always start off with questions nobody can answer, so it was kind of fun. I said, if you believe Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, would you go to heaven? And everybody in the class said yes. I said, no, you'll probably go right to hell.
Oh, Tom.
But that's true. The Pharisees believed he died on the cross. They believe he rose from the dead. They're not going to heaven, the unbelieving ones. And I said, that's the distinction between historic faith and saving faith.
Right.
Saving faith is, I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for
me.
Yes. And he rose from the dead for
me.
Yes. It's that promise that is important. And that's well summarized in this first stanza. I'll read stanza 2 because it talks about who's the object. Christ Jesus is the ground of faith, who was made flesh and suffered death. All then who trust in him alone are built on this chief cornerstone. So it says, in fact, I could have said Christ Jesus, you know, is the object of faith. But it explains in what way was he an object of faith? Because by becoming flesh, incarnation, suffering death, crucifixion, guess what? Then our sins are forgiven, etc. And I'm sure we're going to get to that. So stanza 3.
Stanza 3. God would not have the sinner die. His Son with saving grace is nigh. His Spirit in the Word declares how we in Christ are heaven's heirs.
Yes, a lot of people know John 3:16, but a lot of times they don't know the verses surrounding it.
You're right.
The verse right before it, the two verses.
Yeah.
As Moses
lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, yes, so will the Son of Man be lifted
up. Be lifted up. Yes. Isn't that interesting? Yes.
And this was in the context of Nicodemus coming to him
yes.
under the cover of night and wanting to know, you know, I mean, Nicodemus came to him because, well, kind of secretively, you know.
And, yeah, he didn't want others to know.
He was a Pharisee.
Oh, not only a Pharisee, he was a member of the council, Sanhedrin.
Member of the Sanhedrin,
yeah,
right.
Supreme Court.
And so he counseled with Jesus, and that's in this context that he shares this.
And then Jesus gives him the answer that should have been easy. All you have to do is be reborn.
Yes.
I got to go back in my mother's womb. And Jesus said, and you are a teacher?
Yes, remember that?
You know, I always think
that's kind of interesting how he kind of put Nicodemus, put him down a few rungs. He said, you are a teacher of the Jews and you don't know these things?
Well, that was what the whole Emmaus Bible class was.
Yes.
Telling the disciples what they may have even memorized but didn't know.
Right.
I say this again and again, that when congregations call pastors, make sure they know the original Greek and Hebrew, because there is so much in that that gives you the insights that you don't see in the English at all. Like, God so loved the world. We're talking about that right now. But there's different words for love. Imagine God used eros, where we get the word erotic.
Yeah.
Or it's
not filio either.
No, phileo, which is brotherly love.
Brotherly love.
Because that means he only loves you when you become his brother. But it is God so loved the world. And it's agape.
Agape love.
Yeah. Which is really a love that you're doing where you don't get anything back for it.
Would you say that's distinctly Christian? Would you say Christians are only capable of agape love?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, because everyone else, if you're not a Christian, you are doing everything out of self-interest. Yeah, even saving your children from being drowned. That's not out of love for Christ. It's out of love for self-interest, because just meet unbelievers who have had their children die in the water. They're unconsolable, because they have no hope that they're ever going to see the child again. Now, they may belong to a religion where it teaches, or reincarnation, they'll come back or something. But who was the actress just cloned her dog before?
Oh, let's see.
Yeah. And she got two dogs, and neither of them had the personality of her former dog.
Who was that actress? I'm trying to think who
that
was.
Yeah, well known.
I saw it on TV just a little while ago.
Yeah, I can't recall.
Wasn't it Shirley MacLaine, was it?
No.
Someone else.
Yes. And she's waiting to see, when they get older, if they'll have brown eyes. Cloning. Can you imagine?
I think, if I remember right, I think Shirley MacLaine, didn't she believe in reincarnation?
Oh, it may have, but can you imagine
kind of new age.
That Louise wants to clone me?
No, that's clown, Tom.
Oh, the clown. Me. Yeah, thank you. Well, I would come back different. In fact, if she thought about it, the clone would have a different personality than Tom. I'll take a chance. It's got to be better. All right, stanza 3.
God would not have the sinner die. His Son with saving grace is nigh. His Spirit in the Word declares how we in Christ are heaven's heirs.
Now, that's the verse after John 3:16, that God would not have the sinner die.
That's
Remember,
right.
Jesus did not come into the world to
condemn the world.
Excellent.
But that the world through him would be saved.
Yes. That's really, really, really good. It kind of ties into my sermon today, but I'm not going to talk about it because people are going to be able to hear it on the radio. I may mention it at the end, so I won't give you any time to explain it. I've got a question. It took me an hour and a half to figure it out.
Oh, what's your question at least?
I'll tell you at the end.
Okay.
No, maybe. Remind me. That's really important to understand. Jesus is judge, but he wants to forgive us, as only a judge is able to do, to let us free from the bondage of prison or a fine or whatever. And he did that not just by dying, but by taking upon himself our sins.
Our sins.
Yeah. And what was the great word from the cross that's coming up? Well, I'm doing the seven words from the cross.
It is finished?
No. My
my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
That's right.
Yes.
And
because he was covered with the sins of the whole world.
Well, I say in my Bible, I have the answer. I'm forsaking you because you have all the sins of Tom Baker on your shoulder.
Oh, is that what you're saying?
I'm going to change that to Mark Smith because that makes more sense. But that's exactly what you said.
The sins of the whole world.
The sins of the whole world. All right, I'll do four. Be of good cheer, for God's own Son forgives all sins which you have done, and justified by Jesus' blood, your baptism grants the highest good.
That's great that it's tied in with baptism.
Yes. Because
that's when all of our sins were washed away.
I would go so far to say that it's also tied in with the Lord's Supper.
Right.
And justified by Jesus' blood.
Sure.
Because that's what we receive during the sacrament of the Eucharist. This is really important to understand. It doesn't say he forgives all sins which you have done when you correct your life and become better. It doesn't say that, does
no.
it? No. This is where Christianity is totally different than every other religion. He forgives the guilty. I've often said, this is a Bakerism, the only people who go to hell are those who are sinners. The only people who go to heaven are those who are sinners. Mm-hmm. If you're not a sinner, you're not going to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is, through faith, the ones who go to heaven have been forgiven.
That's right.
But we have that tremendous
justified,
100% thing. Are you a sinner or a saint?
Sinner and saint.
Yeah.
Both at the same time.
Exactly. Yeah.
But from God's perspective, I'm a saint.
Yeah. That was another question I threw at the adult instruction folks as we're going through here. I said, well, here's a question everybody should easily get. Are you righteous enough to go to heaven right now? And all of them said no. And I said, so if you die right now, you're going to hell. And the one guy looked at me and says, no, I'm going to heaven. Well, you just said you weren't. And what I got them to understand was the righteousness that gets us to heaven is not our own.
It's Christ's.
It's Christ's.
And it was bestowed upon us in our baptism.
And that's called the glorious
exchange.
Yes. Well said. Boy, you're really on today. You must have had some coffee listening to the coffee hour.
No.
All righty. Stanza five.
If you are sick, if death is near, this truth your troubled heart can cheer. Christ Jesus saves your soul from death. That is the firmest ground of faith.
That's really interesting. It's not talking about Judgment Day. It's talking about the point of death. What's saved?
What is saved?
Yes.
My soul.
Yes. In other words, the same thing that happened to Stephen and Jesus.
Yeah.
Father, into thy hands
I commit my spirit.
Yes.
Right.
And Stephen said the same thing. So, according to Ecclesiastes, there's a separation of the spirit from the body.
Right.
At the point of death. And then a reunification.
On the last day.
Of a better body.
Right. Glorified body.
In fact, in some cases, God would have to recreate it because it was eaten by animals or totally decayed.
Or reduced to ashes.
Yes, exactly. So we don't believe in reincarnation, but we do agree in the body.
Resurrection.
Yeah, the resurrection of the body, and that is a tremendous gift. So even if you're sick or death is near, and, you know, the older a person gets, the more they think about that.
Yes, oh boy.
Yeah.
The older you get, the more you're plagued with health problems.
That, but also, how many people did you have a funeral for who died in their sleep? I had about 8. When they were sleeping at night.
Yeah, that's the best way to go, I suppose.
Yeah, I think so. But then every time you go to bed, once you hit our ages of 50 plus, you wonder, am I going to wake up?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a concern. And I really...
Well, surely you'll wake up.
You'll either wake up on this earth
or you'll wake up...
But I get a little frustrated thinking about that because I've got 12 things to do the next day.
Yeah, well,
and who's going to do them if I'm...
Who's going to get all your toys, right?
Yes. Yeah, I just got a new one.
Oh, what's that?
A pan that's nonstick.
Oh.
And even gives grill marks to the steak.
Simple things for simple minds. What?
Yeah, I gave it to my wife. I'm glad you said that. Okay. Last stanza.
All right. Glory to God. This is a doxological verse, too. Glory to God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one. To you, O blessed Trinity, be praise now and eternally.
Yes. You know, that's talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three of them, but one. So in this particular Him, you've got baptism, you got the Lord's Supper, you got the Holy Trinity, you got justification by grace through faith. In other words, you have what I would refer to as a mini sermon.
Right. Well, John 3:16 itself, you've got...
That's right.
Talk about self-contained.
Yes.
Yep, the gospel in a nutshell.
So next time I'm going to have to look more carefully and see if the number is...
Yes, that does help.
...part of our hymnal.
It does help if you pick a hymn that is part of the hymnal.
Be careful, Mark. I'll remind everyone where you forgot that it was Martin Luther who wrote them. Okay. We don't want to embarrass you here. All right. You can keep on listening because you're going to hear my sermon with the question... don't respond. I'm going to shut you off. The question is going to be, when we witness to someone, do we want to do it in such a way that they recognize we love them and that we care for them?
That's your question.
Yep. And I totally disagree with that. Okay. Till tomorrow, God bless, and you will now continue to hear the hymn again.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.